in their turn, created different types of bodies according to karma. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapiladev told his mother that the living entity gets a particular type of body in accordance with his work, and that this body is decided upon by higher authorities. The higher authorities, as appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are Lord Brahma and all other Prajapatis and Manus. Thus, from the beginning of creation, it can be seen that the first creature is the most intelligent. It is not that so-called modern intelligence has developed by the gradual process of evolution. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, there is a gradual evolutionary process, but it is not the body that is evolving. All the bodily forms are already there. It is the spiritual entity or a spiritual spark within the body that is being promoted by the laws of nature under the supervision of superior authority. We can understand from this verse that from the very beginning of creation, different varieties of living entities were existing. It is not that some of them have become extinct. Everything is there. It is due to our lack of knowledge that we cannot see things in their proper perspective. In this verse, the word dhasta tamasa is very important, for without being free of ignorance, one cannot control the creation of different types of living entities. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:31:1, Daiva netrena, bodies are awarded under the supervision of superior powers. How can these superior powers control the evolutionary process of the living entity if they are not free from all imperfection? The followers of the Vedic instructions cannot accept the Darwinian theory of evolution, for it is marred by imperfect knowledge. So I will take the other sloka also, 74. Athedam nityada yukto japanavit abahitta puman achirasreya apnoti vasudeva parayanah. So translation purport, Srila Prabhupada. A devotee of Lord Krishna, whose mind is always absorbed in him, who with great attention and reverence chants this stotra prayer, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay. Purport. Perfection means becoming a devotee of Lord Krishna. As stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1:28, Vasudeva Parabeda, Vasudeva Paramaka. The ultimate goal of life is Vasudeva or Krishna. Any devotee of Lord Krishna can attain all perfection, material gains and liberation simply by offering prayers to him. There are many varieties of prayers to Lord Krishna chanted by great sages and great personalities such as Lord Brahma and the Lord Shiva. Lord Krishna is known as Shiva Birinchinutam, Bhagavat 11:533. Shiva means Lord Shiva and Birinchi means Lord Brahma. Both of these demigods are engaged in offering prayers to Lord Vasudeva Krishna. If we follow in the footsteps of great personalities and become devotees of Lord Krishna, our lives will become successful. Unfortunately, people do not know this secret. Nate vidu swarthagatim hi vishnum. They do not know that the real interest and the highest perfection of life is to worship Lord Vishnu, Krishna. Bhagavat 7:531. It is impossible to become satisfied by trying to adjust the external energy. Without being a devotee of Lord Krishna, one can only be baffled and confused. To save living entities from such a calamity, Lord Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita 7:19, Bahunam janmanamante gyanavan mam prapadante vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, a wise man surrenders unto me, knowing very well that I, Vasudeva, am everything. The sacred soul is very rare. We can receive whatever benediction we want simply by becoming devotees of Vasudeva. So I'll say a few words and then Maharaj will also speak. So this chapter entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. So this was instruction given to the sons of King Prasanna Barhi. When the sons were, the princes were ordered to create. Because when Lord Brahma was first instructed to create, and then he underwent severe austerities for 1,000 years. And then when he was, when because of that austerity, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became extremely satisfied, then Lord Brahma was given this intelligence how to create. Then he created, but at some time, you know, he also empowered other personalities to actually do the creation, to help the creation. It's interesting here, you know, in just a few days ago when I was discussing with the scientist here, it said in the in the Bible about creation. You see, the Bible said in first day, second day, third day, like that, you know, the stages of creation takes place. So I said it is a somehow slightly in agreement with the Darwinian evolution. Because, see, the, sometimes the plants are created, see, the plants are required because for food, for the other living beings. So therefore, it is a stepwise creation takes place, according to the Bible. But according to the Bhagavad source, creation takes place simultaneously. So this is one thing that I'm just noting from Prabhupada's purport. That so there are certain of these, say, the confusing the conceptions in different traditions. So this also need to be addressed and try to make a deeper study about how these things are happening. That part is. One thing, so this instruction on so Lord Shiva was speaking to the princess, and you know, this whole shloka, these prayers actually start from text number 33 in the previous shlokas, from text number 33 to text number 68. So these are the prayers that Lord Shiva was chanting in order to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was instructing those princes that you must chant these prayers and then your life will be perfect and also be able to create. So this is 36 shlokas, and it's all these shlokas is complete in itself about the Krishna consciousness. So how do we get? What do we get from these instructions? So what we get is that in order to execute proper devotional service, we have to learn how to satisfy the higher authorities. The higher authorities, the advanced souls, Vaishnavas, and of course the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So without satisfying the higher authorities, which are following the principles given by the higher authorities, then it is not possible to actually carry on in devotional life. So these prasetas, therefore, are instructed by Lord Shiva in order to please, in order to chant these prayers so that they can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the substance of this prayers. Just like you just mentioned that Lord Brahma, so at the beginning, actually he did not know how to create at the beginning. And when he heard this tapaha, that the divine voice, then he underwent this severe, this austerities by meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, so after the end of that prayer, the tapasya, that the Lord Vishnu came and saying that, my dear Brahma, extremely pleased with your, penance, with your austerity, tapasya. So now I give you this knowledge, intelligence, so that you can create. So in this way, is pleasing the art, to learn how to please the higher authorities, the art of pleasing the higher authorities is actually the secret of devotional life. Without that, then one becomes falsely proud, one becomes captivated by this the glamours of false prestige, ahankar. So that is just opposite to devotional life. But therefore these prayers, you see, Lord Brahma chanted these beautiful prayers, that Brahma Samhita, to sing about the glories of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, like all his prayers, that Kunti Maharani prayed beautiful prayers of that Kunti's prayer in the Bhagavatam, that Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. And now here, Lord Shiva's prayer. So all these beautiful prayers are all just how to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, we have the prayer in the morning. We have in the Mangalarti to please the spiritual master. We first start with that. In the Mangalarti, the Sanksara Dava. Then we have Guru Puja. So these are all in the Sandhya Arati. These are all prayers. But these prayers are, the potency of these prayers is such that by that sincere call of the or the submission for the blessings of the Lord, and one becomes when the higher authorities are pleased. So when the higher authorities are pleased, then give the benediction, give the blessings, give the mercy. By that mercy, that all the impurities will be gone from the individual who is making the prayer, and then this person will come to the pure state, transcendental state of existence, consciousness. And so in this way, one gets inspiration and one is able to carry on the devotional duty. So this is the secret of success in Krishna consciousness. When we think that falsely, that I'll be able to do by my own power, by my own intelligence, by my own effort, actually it is a false conception. But rather, we have developed this culture that whatever is coming is only by the mercy, by the blessings of the higher authorities. So therefore, in our temples, at least in this culture, this Bhagavad culture, following the authorities and also trying to please the authorities, higher authorities, is actually the proper form of understanding of devotional life. So in that context, you can see these preceptors, they are very obedient to the instruction of the father of the king, and therefore this a quality of obedience to the spiritual master, obedience to the parents, and obedience to the higher authorities. So this is a very, very important culture principle. It's like in our daily prayer, as to avoid the offenses in chanting the holy name. We also said that the third offense is one must avoid the offense, not disobeying the order of the spiritual master. So this, if we, in our action, in our daily action, that if I can inquire, if I can ask, that whether my action will be pleasing to my higher authority, whether it will be pleasing to my spiritual master, whether this is authorized by the spiritual master or by the higher authority, I think I should constantly, all the time, we should ask and then act. Then we get the signal that yes, this is authorized by the spiritual master, by the higher authority, by the scriptures, then the work, and it is fully authorized. Therefore,
then it is a fully supported, fully guided by the higher authorities. So when this feeling comes, then it is modified, and then it can carry on without any difficulty, without any interruption. But if I do it on my own false ego, oh yes, I feel that this is correct, and this is it, I'm confident that this is correct, and for my own false ego, then anything, something, it may break down at any point. So therefore, we have to be safeguarded from this false ego. And so in this way, the spirit of Krishna consciousness can become very sublime, and then it will become a very natural process of making progress in spiritual life. So therefore it's very instructive to at least study these principles outlined in these prayers, as well as in this dialogue. And therefore this is a very important part of Krishna consciousness. Now Maharaj can speak something, and if there's a little time, that we'll go back here and we can discuss a little bit about it. What is it? Please.
Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Namaste Sadaswati Deve Gauravani Prachari Shesha Chunyavani Vastachari Shatani Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Adaita Gadadhara Srivastani Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj has today enlightened us about a principle in spiritual life which is essential and most important, and I would like to repeat this principle to you all. He has said that it's a principle in spiritual life to satisfy higher authorities and obtain their blessings by this sincere mood of trying to please them. And it is by those blessings or by this mercy that we can go forward on our spiritual path. I would like to point out to you that this, of course, goes totally against our own conditioning, our own experience, not experience, our own thinking in the West. We don't really think as Western people to satisfy someone else than us. Only in a job situation where we want to get something like money, are we prepared to satisfy a superior, like a chief who is above us. But we really do not satisfy that superior person because we think we should satisfy him and make him happy. We try to fulfill his whims because then and then only we can become happy. But in bhakti, we don't please Krishna because we have to please him so that we become happy. In bhakti, we really think differently. We think, oh, Krishna is wonderful. The purpose of my life is to satisfy him. Or we think this about our spiritual master. He is wonderful. He is merciful. He can do whatever he wishes with me, but I am living for his pleasure. This is something which is new for us to learn, new for us to enter into. And it sometimes is a challenge. Can we, during our life, realize this spiritual principle which has been so nicely explained this morning? Let me ask a question, and then I make it very brief so that we can go to this other text which Maharaj has looked up for us this morning. How can we come to this, that we want to sincerely live for the pleasure of someone else, the spiritual master, Krishna, and also these higher authorities? How can we come to this, that we really feel like this? I want to satisfy my spiritual master. I want to satisfy the higher authorities. I want to satisfy Krishna for their own sake. There are two very important moods which we have to develop in order to come to this state. One is a mood of love and gratitude. Then this is very easily possible. And the other is we need to also have some determination to go on the spiritual path. I would like to talk to first about this determination to go on the spiritual path. And then I would like to speak a little bit on love, how to develop love for our higher authorities. There is a very interesting narration in the Katha Upanishad where a searcher for truth is described. His name is Nachiketya, and he sees one day how his father goes on the marketplace and makes a very ostentatious means ein prahlerisches in German, display of religiosity. He gives to the brahmanas money and cows. Now Nachiketya understands that his father only does this for his own benefit, not for the benefit. He wants to be known as a glorious giver of charity. He doesn't do it for the brahmanas and not for the Lord. He's a Karmakanda man. And Nachiketya objects. His father says on the marketplace, I give everything of value to you, the brahmanas, who will engage this in the service of God. Nachiketya thinks, he is such a hypocrite, my father, in saying this. And look at the cows he gives. One cow doesn't even give milk. So he says, if you give everything of value, then what is with me? Am I not valuable to you? He challenges his father, and his father becomes enraged by that challenge. It is not done in Vedic civilization normally that the son challenges the higher authorities, his father. The father says, I give you into the hands of death today. Western psychologists would say, here comes the typical Oedipus conflict in the Katha Upanishad. Nachiketa says, all right. And he goes on his own to the house of death. And he's clearly frustrated by that encounter. And he sits, he asks the wife of Yamaraj, I believe her name is, I do not know her name at this moment, but good. He sits and his wife comes out and says, would you like something to eat? My husband is not here right now. And the Brahmana son, Nachiketya, answered, I'm not hungry. He fasts for a second day. In the morning of the third day, the wife again comes out and says, please eat something. My husband is just about to arrive. Nachiketya insists on his renunciation. He says, I am not hungry. So when Yamaraj returns, he meets his wife, and his wife says, there is a Brahmana out there. He has come voluntarily to you. Normally no one comes voluntarily to you. You always have to go to after everyone and get them. And he has declined to eat. And Yamaraj goes, he goes to Nachiketa and says, you Brahmanas who do not accept the charity of the Grihasthas, you are like fire which consumes our houses. You know, when you don't satisfy a Brahmana and you are a Grihastha, then you're really in trouble. You have to feed him, because if you don't feed him and he's hungry and he goes away from your house hungry, this is very bad for your own development in life. So Yamaraj says, please take something. If you don't want to eat, then take at least 3 boons from me. This is exactly what Nachiketa had thought about. He said, okay, my first boon which I want to have to you is that my father looks with sympathy upon me and forgives me as I forgive him. Yamaraj says, yes, tatastu, may this be. The second desire is a little complicated in our Western context. I will just make it. He wants to have a knowledge of a certain sacrifice. Yamaraj says, tatastu, so be it. And the third is, Nachiketa says, tell me about the absolute truth. Is he personal or impersonal? Tell me about God. At this moment, Yamaraj does what is typical for the instructor. He tests the sincerity of his disciple. He asks him, oh, come on. Don't ask such difficult questions. Would you take a golden chain instead? Or, if you don't want a golden chain, take a few golden chariots with beautiful maidens. In other words, he offers him a harem. and other material opulences. Nachiketa remains steadfast and says, no, I'm really not interested in all this. Tell me about the Lord. And then Yamaraj starts his instruction on how to obtain the absolute truth. I would really like to quote a few verses for you today. First, he starts, there's a beautiful verse which many of you know. Utishta jagrata prabhyan varani bodhata shurasya dhara nishita duratyaya durgam patastat kavayo vadanti. Arise! It's good for a devotee audience in the morning who's getting tired. Awaken! Don't sleep, in other words. And having obtained an elevated soul as your spiritual master, learn the spiritual truths from him. The spiritual path is difficult to traverse, for it is like a whetted razor's edge, as a geschärfte Rasierklinge. The sages say it is beset with thorns. There are thorns on the path. So, Yamaraj wants to tell his disciple about this, what we are discussing this morning, what I want to discuss this morning. But, you need some determination on the spiritual path. Rupa Goswami says, utsahan, enthusiasm, confidence, this is also sometimes, Prabhupada says, perseverance. You know, you need to persevere. And finally, patience. These are important qualities to develop. Very important qualities. My dear devotees, don't make the mistake which happens when you enter into an institution. You think, oh, no, I've now done everything. I have joined somewhere. Spiritual path means you need to join every day new. You need to be determined. You need to be committed. You need to refresh your commitments. This is one thing. Shyamaraj later will speak about a road which needs to be traveled upon. He says, for one who possesses realized knowledge of the Absolute as his chariot driver, and who takes his mind in rein at Zügelseingeist, he reaches the limit of the road of material bondage and attains the supreme destination, the abode of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To make it a little bit more clear, the body is described by Lord Yamaraj as a chariot, realized knowledge, or sometimes it's said also spiritual intelligence, is the chariot driver. The mind needs to be controlled and kept in rein, and the senses need to be well trained by a controlled mind. Then you can go with your chariot around on the road to perfection. It takes determination. Last time when I was in Vienna, I was witness of an interesting accident. There was a tourist, a few tourists. They were driving on these horse-drawn chariots, you know, Spinnaker carriages, they call them. And all of a sudden, the horse says, got disturbed because of something. I believe it was a barking dog. And they started to jump around. Now, the chariot driver was not very firm. He was clearly not trained in his work very well. And the horses got a control over him. And the whole thing, I mean, it was funny to see. Funny because they went so wild and no one was really severely hurt. Everyone just got a shock, and therefore I was laughing a little bit on the side. But no one was hurt, so you can still laugh. You know, so the horses were going all over the Stephansplatz, near the Stephansdom, and the tourists from America, you know, were really shocked. You know, they had to come see lovely Vienna, and now this, you know, and people were just laughing, and it was very humorous. So this happens in your spiritual life also, but here it is no longer humorous. You have this human form of life just to attain the perfection. Now it's time for you to have a spiritual intelligence on your chariot, to have your reins, the mind in control, and control the horses. And for this you need determination. Now to follow higher authorities, as our Maharaj has said, also requires something, affection, gratitude. All these areas which come in the area of love. Linguists can tell you, if you have any word, for instance, stress, then around such a word, there is what we call in German a Bedeutungsspektrum, a spectrum of meanings. Around stress is, for instance, tension, unsettlement, what else? Adrenaline, too much adrenaline, the stress chemical, and so on. So also around the area of love, around the word love, there are many words which belong into the meaning, which come into the Bedeutungsspektrum, the spectrum of meaning. And I think it's very important to think about these things which are in this spectrum. I would say gratitude, for instance, is a very important word in the spectrum of love. Dankbarkeit in German. Also appreciation, Wertschätzung. Also affection. All these come there. So if you wish to go on this path, back home, back to Godhead. If you are sincere, and you must know, it will require determination. And you can be determined when you love. You cannot be determined when you are forced all the time. I think we know this by now. When we do something out of force, doesn't work for a long time. It works for some time. So we want to follow our Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj's very important principle which he has talked today. He is a very scientifically minded Vaishnav, and he talks about this principle where you must rest your life upon. Then it's very important to develop love and gratitude for the superiors. Love is sometimes difficult to come by, but gratitude is easier. Appreciation. Hear about Srila Prabhupada, and then you will appreciate him. Meditate what he did for you. You will be grateful to him. So if you develop these things around love, you will surely gravitate towards the center of all these words in the spectrum of meaning. That is, you will gravitate towards love of Srila Prabhupada, and then it's very easy to follow your spiritual life. So I would just like to summarize. Maharaj has spoken so far about a very important principle for spiritual development, pleasing the superiors, working for their pleasure. And as a humble servant of Maharaj, I wanted to support his point by talking about two qualifications, determination and love. And I wanted to read to you a little bit from the Katha Upanishad, where Naichiketya, the very determined spiritual searcher, who's not ready to exchange spiritual goal with gold and harems and whatever is described, and what type of instructions he gets from Yamaraj. We will now again turn over to Maharaj. He has another subject matter to relate to us.
Shall we do that, or shall we? Let's see, the time is close to.
We have
questions, or shall we? This supporting this, say, one of the qualifications for advancement in spiritual life.
As you wish, we have time. We have maybe timed up to 9:30, and we want to hear from you very eagerly.
I have read this oftentimes, and especially in discussion about the spiritual matters, how to make progress in spiritual life. But the whole purpose of the human form of life is to make progress in the spiritual life. And this Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam dialogue, you see now we are reading this dialogue, this long time, it's actually a dialogue between Maitreya and Vidura. And so these conversations, it's like Maharaj giving an example from the Upanishad. Similarly, it is a dialogue, the discussions about the spiritual matters. Now, in the process of doing that, Lord Shiva come in, and Lord Shiva is also having an instructing to the princess about how to make progress in spiritual life. Now, these qualifications are necessary to actually make progress in the spiritual life. It's like if I want to enter into the medical college, medical study, I have some kind of a preliminary qualification to be able to enter into that field. I cannot just say that I like it, but without that preparation, preliminary preparation, then I will not be accepted by the authorities there, by the medical college. So similarly, in order to enter into the devotional spirit, so we have to develop these prerequisites or qualifications in order to be able to adopt that culture. Now, I find that the instructions here, that especially the dialogue between Prithu Maharaj and the Kumaras, Sanat Kumar, and it is such a wonderful, let's say, dialogue that by meditating on this dialogue, then we can develop these spiritual qualities, and then we can go on without being disturbed, because we have to prepare that ourselves, that there are many ups and downs in our journey. It's not plain sailing, because we are already encountering so many other difficulties that they come and go like the waves in the ocean. So we have to, so this determination is extremely important, because when you are determined, but determinance comes, you know, in this spiritual strength and built in within the, by realizing the most important duty to be performed. So in order to get these qualifications here, and this actually this is on the same kind on the chapter 22. Yeah, this is a Prithu Maharaj meeting in Kuala. This is instruction about the how to make progress in spiritual life. I think this is very important for all of us. But here it's mentioned about 8 qualifications. How to this is text number 24 on chapter 22, the Prithu Maharaj meeting in Kumaras. Ahimsaya paramahamsa charaya smritya mukunda sarita greha siddhuna yamai rakamai niyamai sapi anindaya nirihaya dvandva titikshaya cha. So this is an instruction given by Sanat Kumar to the Prithu Maharaj. In the dialogue, is a candidate for the spiritual advancement must have the following 8 qualifications. It's mentioned about this here. That is very relevant. I've read this many times, and I think it's always very inspirational. So these 8 qualifications, the first is non-violent. So non-violent, and also in today's context, you know, in the especially these inter-religious meetings, like non-violence, this ahimsa, that's especially they pretty much mention about Gandhian some kind of a philosophy, that they talk about a lot about Gandhi's contribution about the non-violent principle. This actually Gandhi, what Mahatma Gandhi took was mostly from the Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Bhagavad Gita, like truthfulness, the ahimsa, and they say satyam, what Gandhiji used was satyam, but these are all from the Bhagavad Gita, from the 16th chapter. Similarly here, Sanat Kumar says to Prithu Maharaj, so we must have this as a first qualification. If we want to make progress in spiritual life, we have to learn this or to develop this culture called non-violence. Non-violence means it's not internally as well as externally. So this is a very important principle. Then the second qualification that is mentioned here is that one must follow in the footsteps of great acharyas. The footsteps of great acharyas. So therefore, when we say that we are following the Prabhupada's teachings, we are following in the form of this parampara, that means as a coming from in the spiritual lineage. So therefore, one must be within an authorized parampara system. So ours is a Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya. So we all come to the Krishna consciousness movement, but we are within this Sampradaya. This is a bona fide Sampradaya, bhakti, it's in the school of bhakti, the culture of this bhakti. So therefore this is very important. Now today in our society, you know, we have some difficulty like Ritvik and this. But actually, you know, to be frankly speaking, say, when you come to the to this proper school of sampradaya, so therefore this has to be strictly followed. But otherwise, say then we cannot break the path of sampradaya. So therefore, this is a misconception, misunderstanding. So therefore, we must follow the acharyas, the footsteps of the acharyas. So in the history of let's say this sampradaya, at some point there will be quite some very prominent personalities, and some are it may not be as prominent as the others, but at least the sampradaya should go on. It will continue. It has to continue. This has to be. So this has to be very, very properly understood. Because otherwise, the minds are, very, just revolting nature. And it's just like to become disobedient in the material life, where that is the excellent symptom. We don't want to obey. We don't want to follow any rules in our life. We want to be independent, because this is in the material life. When the my consciousness has been affected by this material nature, such symptoms come. But in the ordinary course of, let's say, devotional life, when one becomes fully surrendered, when one becomes very sincere about his or her attempt to actually be free from these influences of material nature, then it comes as a natural process of bhakti, school of bhakti. Therefore, school of bhakti, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Sakshastakam, amanina manadena, Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. Amanina Manadina is very important, is the foundational in Krishna consciousness. It is devoid of all sense of false prestige. When the anger comes, or when all these unwanted thoughts come, it's nothing but my false ego, because ahankar is so big. So it is very big. Therefore, when ahankar becomes very prominent, then all the good qualities are destroyed. Therefore, amanina manadena, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, amanina manadena, devoid of all sense of false prestige. So at that time only, then you can have the taste of chanting, that kirtaniya sadahari. But if my still false ego is there, but even if we chant, then sometimes, because false ego is so prominent, and the fact is, it's not as prominent as it should be. Therefore, so this is it's very important, matter to me. Just like just about a few months ago, I was telling Maharaj that when I went to a conference in Philadelphia, just in June, but that was the subject matter was called is a unconditional love, and this was discussed by the scientists. Because you see, what happened is that today we have so much, let's say, conflict of interest, like terrorism, there's car bombs, and all this, extreme anger, uncontrollable anger. Because out of that, even people come suicide. See, because of this uncontrollable anger, they committed suicide. They, all these car bombs and all the suicide bombers, nothing but uncontrollable anger that developed. Because of these symptoms, now the scientists are becoming very much interested why these things are happening in the human culture. And so now this conference was called the Metaphysics. It is actually titled as Metaphysics of Love. And there was Unconditional Love. And there are about 400 scientists coming from all over the planet discussing about. I thought, yes, wow, these scientists are discussing now pure devotional service. I was thinking like that, Prabhupada must be very pleased, because he wanted the scientists becoming devotees to Krishna, and they're discussing on their own. And the next month, this is a forgiveness. It is another conference. This is in Atlanta in October 24-25. This is all the scientists. This is called a science and religion dialogue discussion. And when the scientists, so they will be discussing about forgiveness. So I'm also going, because I generally participate in some of these unusual gatherings. But this comes from this dialogue on science and religion around the world.
You will be able to discuss something?
Yes, that it will be. But they're only doing research on how to forgive, how to develop this culture of forgiveness. But these are, very connected with our devotional kind of these principles.
And so it's the world is especially because these are scientists are involved. Many medical doctors are involved. Many doctors involved. Physicists are involved in some kind of philosophical conception. And so this is a very important development in recent times. And this happened because of this that New York tragedy. And so people are, the whole world is aware about it, this thing. So I should say this is a good side of that the tragedy. On the other side, there is a tragedy. But on the other side, because of that, I think there are these conceptions are coming. But otherwise, the scientists are not interested to discuss these things. But they are almost compelled or forced. And so this is a... This is a positive side that part. So the footsteps of the great acharyas, one must follow. So the footsteps of the acharyas. In other words, one must be a bona fide representative in that in a bona fide parampara. System, disciplic succession. So the next qualification. You see that these are eight in number. This is what Sanat Kumar is mentioning to Prithu Maharaj. The next qualification that one must always remember the nectar of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the third qualification. It's necessary for a candidate who is very eager or who is very sincere to make some progress in spiritual life. So the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in today's chapter, chanting the Lord the song sung by Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva is also describing how to follow or how to please, how to remember the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also how to please Him and how to serve Him. And how to dedicate one's life and completely the unconditional, let's say, dedication in order to please the Supreme Lord. So in this way, these qualifications are mentioned. And the fourth qualification here, Sanat Kumar is mentioning, is that one must follow the regulative principles without material desire. This is a very practical thing. The regulative principles, and say without having these, following these regulative principles, there won't be much effect. So therefore, these principles are, very important that we have to always follow. And so in this way, so one can make a steady progress in spiritual life. So we have all come to assist Srila Prabhupada's mission. And so in the process of doing that, and as you say, sometimes there are other disturbing elements. I mean, in one's own life, that many other factors are there. But if we follow the principles, we remain strong in oneself, following the four principles. And the Prabhupada says, we chant 16 rounds, and follow the principles, and so I practice and I do your seva, my devotional seva. If I am fully absorbed in that, then other disturbing factors are there, but one will always remain steady. Because your duty is very well carved, your duty is there, and all this, everything is there. And if I follow that very strong, very, very properly, then these disturbing elements will not be able to affect the individual, remain strong, internally strong, and can carry on in the middle of great difficulties. So in this way, this dialogue or this discussion is extremely important for all of us to regularly remind ourselves and try to adopt these principles so that we can. We can make progress in spiritual life. So the next four qualities, I want Maharaj to read this and also explain. I read up to this.
Mm-hmm. Following the regulation without material desire.
Yeah, and the next is following the...
So while following the regulative principles, that's the next quality, But one should not blaspheme others. It is sometimes seen that when a person adopts regulative principles in his life, he gets something from it and becomes very enthusiastic because of improving his life. This enthusiasm, if it is not guided by spiritual principles, can sometimes turn into fanaticism. And you then think, wow, I'm very good. Look at me, at my process. The others who don't follow my process are very bad. And you begin to blaspheme others. So this is a common mistake done in religious movements and religions per se. It comes from misdirected, immature enthusiasm and so on. Then the next quality, so Prabhupada even, it's in our shastras that we should not, for instance, blaspheme Christians or other followers of other religions. It is not good if you do this. A devotee should lead a very simple life. That's the next thing. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said, Saralata is the basis of Vaishnavism. Saralata means simplicity. The Sanskrit word saralata, there is a word sara, essence, in it. See, a person who is a simple, who lives a simple life, is not a simpleton, means a fool, but he is a person who takes only the essence. I remember there's a telling about Socrates. Socrates taught on the marketplace of Athens, and one day he was found to stand before one utility shop for 2 hours and just look. So his followers were thinking, Socrates, you are so renounced, why do you stand before this shop and look? Socrates said, it's so nice to see all the things which you do not need. So it's simplicity. Saralata means you go to the essence. What is important? And leave the other things. Then, not to be disturbed by the duality of opposing elements. This is what is very important. I remember once Srila Prabhupada has said, compared spiritual life or entering into a spiritual life with a person who wants to push his boat into the ocean. If that person who wants to push his boat into the ocean waits until the waves stop coming to the shore, he will wait until eternal times. They will always come. So when you are in spiritual life, like our Maharaj has said, you will always have duality of opposing elements. They will come like the waves on the shore of the ocean. So don't wait until there is smooth sailing. There is no smooth sailing in this world. Push your boat through the waves, and soon it will sail relatively smoothly. That's also then when you have gone over the Brandungswellen, that is the first waves which are at the shore, you will also encounter other waves. So let us again go through what we have just now heard. We should, while following the regulative principles, strictly avoid to blaspheme others. A devotee should lead a very simple life, that is an essential life, and he should not be disturbed by the duality of opposing elements. In fact, he should, this is what the verse also says, he should develop titikshaya, that is the ability to tolerate them. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada says, a devotee should be tolerant and should be very much compassionate towards others. For example, if he suffers personal injury, he should tolerate it. But if someone else suffers injury, the devotee need not to tolerate it.
Mm-hmm. So, maybe we should end here. Any questions, comments from devotees? We have a few minutes.
There's Kalunash. Again, sorry, Keshava Acharya. I want to say, because before turning this question to Maharaj, which is a very important question, I wanted to say it's not that we should love authorities as such. I wanted to say following is possible when there is either determination or love, because if there is force, it won't work so well, obviously. Yes. So let us now turn the question to our Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. What to do when we perceive weaknesses in all the authorities? How can we love them? And should we love them at all? Or what to do at this time?
Well, the authority, of course, we are talking about the genuine authority. We have the Sampradaya, and we have the Jariyas, and so that in other words, the person delivering the message should be authorized. In other words, he must be bona fide. Otherwise, we do not follow bona fide instructions or authority. So when there is bona fide authority, I say that must be followed. That must be, in other words, whatever the authorities say, recommending or instructing, they should be followed. Because otherwise there is a breakdown in spiritual culture. So, you will say when the authority is weak, but the authority can never be weak. Because if it is purely authorized, it is verified, that then otherwise, because there can be, of course, that the individuals, there may be something like that, but in a proper authority, there has to be there. It cannot be weak, because otherwise you cannot say, well, this authority, the bona fide, I'm talking about the real system of the authority, or the, for example, scriptures. It is said in the scriptures, or it is given by the acharyas, and so it's following such and such. So that, therefore, the principle of authority cannot be weak. Individuals, as individual persons, it's possible that they weakness, the particular, let's say, individual, but the authority cannot be weak. Is that bona fide?
Certainly. I understand from. So there can be a weak authority, or a weak person, who somehow embodies the principle of authority, if I understand properly, by, for instance, repeating the bona fide instructions, and this should be followed. But I think have I understood properly, when there is a weak person who also does not represent the strong authority any longer, then following should...
Then it is not authorized.
Yeah. Sorry?
Then that person cannot represent.
Yeah.
But the authority, the authority is there, the bona fide authority is there, that should be followed. But the person is weak, is not able to, give that authority, then is not properly representing. Therefore...
Therefore,
in In other words, say, for example, the authority says they follow four principles, four regulative principles. But this is called authority, it's a bona fide authority. And but if someone is not following that, then in other words, he's not representing that authority. So any other? Yeah. That situation, of course, those who are trying to follow, it is definitely, it have to use their intelligence. Cannot be, say, blindly following, because, but at least the intelligence, by exercise of the intelligence, so that the person should be convinced, yes, this will be good for me. I think that should be, that the commitment should be there on the part of this, those who's going to follow. Follow the authority. It's not so. Therefore, that way, it will be permanent. In other words, it will be very lasting, like a commitment, an understanding. So that so this principle is there. In other words, the person who's going to follow the authority should also be intelligent enough to make a judgment on herself or himself. So that way, it will be lasting. But otherwise. Say people say they're blindly following. Well, say because this is smoking is not good. We say smoking is not good, but then you know a person you know goes a little bit deeper. Well, smoking why is not good? Because it causes cancer. It has nicotine, so nicotine reacts with the cell and the protein molecules, and then it forms say some kind of a very strong let's say. Cross-linked, let's say, chemistry inside. So that's what it causes cancer. And so if you make a little analysis, and you are, if you get any, you use your intelligence, and suddenly you know it is it's going to be so bad, then you are, very assured that this is good for me, so I must do it. And so this way, it has a little, knowledge is there, and it's very helpful, it's very useful. So, but at some time, suppose someone doesn't have that background, but at least let's say people say, doctors say, or my seniors say, or the scriptures say that smoking is not good. So therefore I don't smoke, and so that is also good indirectly. But with these two personalities, and one with knowledge and one with just following, so if we can do that, that is also good. But both aspects are good. Following the authority, in other words, the results, the outcome is good, even if one. Either he understands or doesn't understand. But the one who has with some knowledge, oh yes, why the scriptures are saying, or why the authorities are saying, that why I should not follow, or I should not do these things, and if there is intelligent understanding, then it becomes, very permanent, very lasting, and they apply that. But in either case, I think the authorities is not some dogma, it is a proven some kind of a system that by following these things, the generations of people, generations of individuals become greatly benefited. Therefore, these authorities are transferred like that. That indeed, that's why we follow the parampara system. Because this is the authorized system for thousands and thousands and thousands of many, many yugas. So this is a system. Therefore, even if I don't know so much detail or the intricate, let's say, aspects, still this is good. It is good if I can adopt that, and it is only for my benefit because the generations of very advanced souls have adopted it and have described it. This is good for us and for me. So if I can accept that, then this will also be good for me. So in this way, that requires I think generosity, you know, on the part of the, and also removing the false ego, that the ahankar, and because the conception of ahankar becomes so prominent that I'm not so willing to accept the authority. But so therefore, on the part of the individual, is a generosity and the nobility and the humility. It's a rapiyas, because I don't really know this, so I must follow what the authorized process is there. Yeah, this is only for my benefit. So if I can develop the type of culture that it is easier to accept and to adopt and apply to my personal life. And you asked about the morality. Academic and moral integrity.
Yes, this one at the end. And then we have the reports of Chiranamukha explaining that moral and academic integrity should always be shown by the teacher or by the spiritual master. In other words, followers can be developing the right attitude towards the shastras, and that's why the
That's a good point. That you accept. I mean, that's a good. You have to have qualities have to be also adopted and will be there in the today authority also.
So you have any comment?
I'm personally. I have just a glance at the clock. I think we have gone. Unless you wish to. Okay, so Hare Krishna, thank you all very much. Let me just give you an orientation. I think, is there some program, Pranavallabha? Is Pranavallabha here? Or maybe another, Devananda, this evening, this Maharaj, is he scheduled to give a lecture? No? So this evening. Good, house program. So tomorrow is another Bhagavatam lecture, and then please do make some advertisement. At 3 o'clock tomorrow on Sunday, we will have a special Sunday feast, an extraordinary Sunday feast, which we have. And it will be quite a little colorful, maybe. I don't know how to express, but please do come. It's a special Manipur presentation with a lot of inspiration. Thank you very much and all the best. And Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.